probably received more email on this one subject before we ever got around to talking about it than anything in recent memory. Joel Osteen, of course, was on 60 Minutes Sunday night. Had a 10-minute interview. He laughed, he cried. You get the picture. Joel Osteen is probably now, arguably, the most influential pastor in the United States. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point his influence does not surpass the legendary influence of Billy Graham, although it may come in a different form, not in a political form. You won't find Joel Osteen going to the White House, although he might make a trip there once or twice. You'll find him at his church in Houston, Texas, Lakewood in Houston, Texas, the largest megachurch in the United States. We've been to Lakewood. We were there a couple weeks ago, well, actually a couple months ago, when we were in Houston, and we went there on a Sunday morning, and it was a memorable experience. We talked about it a bit on the air, but it's hard to shake the impression that is made when you go to the largest megachurch in the United States, see it fill up in the course of about 20 minutes to hold, at least in the service we attended, I would say probably 17, 18,000 people on that Sunday morning service. And that was the third or fourth of their services that weekend. And of course, they have services in the middle of the week too. They boast that they will soon top 40,000 people attending church in a week at Lakewood. Joel Osteen's church. He wrote a book called Your Best Life Now, and it was, of course, a bestseller. And his new book called Becoming a Better You is slated to hit the bookstores if it hasn't already. We're going to be hearing that 60 Minutes story on Joel Osteen here in the first hour of Issues Etc. Audio open lines. We'll start and we'll stop the audio and we'll get your reaction to it. If you saw it, I want to hear what your impression was. Any impressions are welcome. And if you didn't see it and you're listening along with us, please feel free to give us a call. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or email us this Tuesday, the 16th of October. We're back with you live. IssuesETC@KFUO.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. Now, coming up after our hour of audio open lines, Karen Malik will join us. We'll talk about a new study on the link between breast cancer and abortion. I'm no doctor, but it seems to be a strong link, and you find the Institutes on Cancer Research not being very forthcoming about the link between breast cancer and abortion. Then after our conversation with Karen Malik, we'll have a little audio open lines. Bill O'Reilly has been talking about this a lot on his Factor show. Gay protests at a Roman Catholic mass in San Francisco. We'll play some of that along with some other audio during audio open line, starting at about 4:30. Then we'll do a sermon review. Pastor Will Wheaton preached a sermon. Now, usually I get a chance to listen to these things before we go on the air. Today, pre-production was pretty busy. I didn't get a chance to listen to Pastor Whedon's sermon. So I'll be listening for the first time along with you as we do a sermon review at about 5 o'clock on Issues Etc. We'll round off today's program. Back with Joel Osteen, Good Morning America also did an interview with Joel and Victoria, his wife, and even went to their house, saw how they live with their family. A little personal interest story from Good Morning America on Joel Osteen and Victoria Osteen to round off today's Issues Etc. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Those are our call-in numbers and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Well, of course, when we went to Lakewood in Houston, one of the things we wanted to see most was Joel. I mean, why do you go to Lakewood other than to see the man who has now become a celebrity in more than one way? And as I noticed as we walked in that things seemed a little different. Right at the very beginning of the service, it was announced that Joel and Victoria would return next week. And I got to say, I was disappointed. I really was. Although the service that we saw was still amazing in and of itself, it wasn't typical Lakewood. It wasn't what you see when you tune in on any given week and watch Joel Osteen's program live from Lakewood, where he preaches this folksy, friendly message of, well, when you dream, dream big, and when you dream and trust in God, he'll give you more than you ever could possibly imagine and take you places you never thought you'd ever go. That kind of summarizes a lot of his sermons. It does account in many ways a lot for his popularity as well. He was on 60 Minutes Sunday night, one of the feature stories. We're going to listen to it. I want your reaction. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issue ZTC at KFUO.org. Here's Joel Osteen on 60 Minutes.
Every once in a while, a preacher breaks through and catches the attention of the public on a national level. Joel Osteen has done that. He's the most popular preacher in the country. His services seen by over 7 million viewers on TV every week. 8 years ago, Osteen was virtually unknown, even in his own church in Houston. A college dropout, he worked behind the scenes, producing his father, Pastor John Osteen's television ministry. When his father died, he stepped out in front of the camera and started to catch on. So why are so many people flocking to Joel Osteen?
Turn it around, open the windows of heaven.
Osteen's service is an uninhibited celebration that's part rock concert, part spectacular. There are no crosses, no religious symbols whatsoever. It's all taped and broadcast around the world. His service is seen in 100 foreign countries and is the most watched religious broadcast in America.
You get 10 or 15,000 people that are excited about God. They're from every race and every denomination and every background. They want to be here. They weren't drugged to come to church. And so there's something about that. It creates an attitude of expectancy. And we cheer and we shout and there's joy. And I try to leave them better off than they were before.
They come by the thousands to non-denominational Lakewood Church, a former basketball arena in Houston, Texas, filling it to the rafters. They come hungry to hear firsthand Joel Osteen's message of empowerment and inspiration.
My message is a message of hope that God is a good God and that no matter what we've done, where we've been, God has a great plan for our lives, and when we walk in his ways, that he'll take us places we've never dreamed of.
Can you give the Lord another shout of praise today?
Osteen preaches his own version of what's known as the prosperity gospel, that God is a loving, forgiving God who will reward believers with health, wealth, and happiness. It's the centerpiece of every sermon.
I want you to get a bigger vision. There are exciting things in your future. Your future is filled with marked moments of blessing, increase, promotion. God has already ordained before the foundation of the world the right people, the right opportunity. Time and chance are coming together for you. Why don't you get your hopes up? Why don't you start believing that no matter what you have or haven't done, that your best days are still out in front of you?
It's an appealing, comforting message, and he follows it up with advice.
If you're not making as much progress as you would like, here's the key. Don't lose any ground. Keep a good attitude and do the right thing, even when it's hard. When you do that, you are passing the test. And God promises your marked moments are on their way.
Now, I was impressed by this because, not because of what Joel is preaching. They're right. This is really just a watered-down version of the prosperity gospel, the word faith teaching. But laying that aside for a moment, I was impressed with 60 Minutes, that they got it, that they accurately depicted exactly what it is Joel's message is. And make no mistake about it, Joel is not apologizing for the kind of preaching and the kind of advice that he issues Sunday after Sunday, week after week, from Lakewood Church. He's not apologizing for it. He believes that this is absolutely what is necessary for people to hear. Now, you can go there and hear, and you can watch it for yourself on television. Lakewood Live is on every week, many times. You will not hear Jesus mentioned in 90%, 99% of Joel's sermons. The cross, no. Now, they will talk a bit at the end about making Jesus your personal Lord and Savior. It's a prayer that comes at the end of each one of his messages. But that's kind of a footnote, an addendum to the main message. The main message is you and your personal empowerment. Now, we will talk about God. G-O-D in a very generic sense. What I was impressed with was how 60 Minutes actually accurately depicted Joel's message. That this is about personal empowerment, and this is about advice. I've said when I've reviewed so many of Joel Osteen's messages, it's Joel's advice on how to be nice. Now, what you've heard here also from Joel in the little sidebars they're sticking in is Joel has a very clear formula that he works with. If you, this is key, if you act upon all the promises that God has made, then God will bless you and your life will improve. This is the God who waits to respond to what you do, and you can have it here and now. Is the center of Joel's message the forgiveness of sins? No. And I think even Joel would admit that. Is the center of Joel's message the Savior who came into the world to live a perfect life, die a perfect death, and rise again from the dead for a world of sinners as a Savior? No. Read his book, Your Best Life Now. That particular event in history of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, not mentioned at all. And yet he can write a book about your best life now, because it really is about your life, not Jesus' life, and your best life, the best you can do, not the best Jesus did for you, and now, not what Jesus did for you, but what you're doing right now. You might ask at this point, well, how in the world could this be so popular? It seems just like Tony Robbins or Dr. Phil or Dr. Laura or any other person who has come along with good and somewhat innocuous advice for how to be nice. How could it be so popular? Well, it has the veneer of religion attached to it, doesn't it? That always helps. It doesn't hurt that Joel is a handsome young man, I think sincerely friendly and whimsical and winsome. This is what people want to hear. It's that simple. This is what people want to hear. Sadly, many of those people who want to hear this are even Christians.
You said, I like to see myself as a life coach, a motivator to help them experience the life that God has for them. People don't like to be beat down and told you've done wrong. What do you mean?
Well, I think that most people already know what they're doing wrong. And for me to get in here and just beat them down and talk down to them, I just don't think that inspires anybody to rise higher. But I want to motivate. I want to motivate every person to leave here to be a better father, a better husband, to break addictions, to come up higher in the walk with the Lord.
I mean, is that being a pastor or is that being Dr. Phil or Oprah?
No, I think we use God's word. I think the principles that you hear Dr. Phil and some of those others talk about many times are right out of the Bible.
Do you ever fear with this message of optimism, you may be misleading some people, that some people think, well, gee, if I just think positive things, my life will turn around? And for some people, that never happens.
Yeah, I don't fear it because we don't just teach that. Because I teach that even in the tough times, you have to embrace where you are, know that God's given you the strength to overcome. You can even be positive in a negative situation, and it'll help you stay filled with hope.
2 years ago, his ministry got so big, the Osteens moved into this 16,000-seat sports arena.
So tell me again, how much money have you spent?
It's about $100 million to renovate the whole place, yeah.
Why doesn't this look more like a church?
Hopefully it'll look more and more like churches around the country.
Osteen and his wife of 20 years, Victoria, who co-pastors Lakewood with him, took us on a tour of what they call their worship facility.
I want you, before they go on, I don't want to interrupt too much, but did you hear what Victoria had to say? He asks, why doesn't this facility, I've been there, it does not look like a church. It doesn't look like a stadium either. It looks like a rock concert. It looks like a, if you've ever been to Kiel or what do they call it now? It's not Kiel anymore. Boy, am I dating myself. If you've ever been to any of the venues here in St. Louis to see a concert, to see a rock concert, you don't, they're not out there on the hardwood floor of the basketball arena. They cover that up, they put in chairs, and it's decked out for a concert. It's got a stage, it's got everything you need. The lights, the sound, everything. Well, that's what Lakewood looks like. It looks like a basketball arena permanently set up and arranged for a rock concert, which is most of what you get when you do go to Lakewood. It's mostly rock concert. What you see on television from Lakewood Live is a very small portion of the entire worship experience there. It's just Joel's message. The vast majority of it is rock concert. Is it Christian rock concert? Some of the music could be qualified as Christian. Most of it's inspirational or hopeful music, I guess you could say. It's a concert with a message in the middle. And when we went, communion too, out of kind of very flimsy little cups with grape juice and a wafer. and an offering. Make no mistake about that, an offering as well. But did you hear what Victoria said when he asks, why doesn't this look more like a church? Her response was, well, hopefully it'll look more and more like churches around the country. What does that mean? Are they planning on renovating Lakewood Church to look more like the church I go to? No. What she's saying is she hopes that, by way of influence, more and more churches that look like churches will look less and less like churches and more like Lakewood. The sad thing is Victoria's actually hit the nail right on the head. Because the more popular Joel Osteen-style ministries become, the more churches that have been churches in the past are tempted to abandon being the church and decide that they want to be Lakewood or a cheap imitation of Lakewood. And that works great in some cases. If you got a suburban church that imitates Lakewood, even though the pastor doesn't say we're imitating Lakewood, he'll never say that. He'll tell you it was all his idea to begin with. And it works great if you're out there in suburbia with a Joel Osteen-style ministry until Joel moves in down the street. And Joel's the real deal. He's not the cheap imitation. Joel looks like Joel because he is Joel. He's not someone trying to look like Joel. It's not a church trying to act like Lakewood. But you can see a bit of the agenda there, at least expressed by Victoria Osteen, that their hope is that more and more churches will look less and less like churches and more like Lakewood in the future. This isn't just about Lakewood doing what it does, where it does it, in its own way. It's not about that. This is about transforming the church from the church into something other than the church.
The ceiling changes color.
Isn't that neat?
Isn't that beautiful?
And it changes during the songs or however we program it.
Really?
Yeah.
And this is like Hollywood stuff. Now, do you call this
the podium? Pulpit? We need to call it a podium.
No? Pulpit is an old school kind
of. Yeah, I would say podium.
This does have a concert feel to it.
It does.
Does that distract from the message?
I don't think so. I think it helps people be engaged.
Engaged and generous. Osteen can afford all this because of the money the church brings in. But he doesn't solicit contributions on television.
Why don't you ask for money during your television broadcast?
We didn't want anything to distract people when they were watching to try to turn off the message. Because we know how people are skeptical of TV ministers. Hey, there's a guy who just wants my money. That's what. I didn't want any of that.
But you do want their money.
Well, we need people to support us or we can't stay on, but we don't get on there and ask for it. And it's amazing how people can see that when you're genuine, they send money.
Buckets of money. Over $43 million a year gets collected in the church. Another $30 million or so comes in the mail. It's a cash cow and a family business. Osteen's brother, sister, and mother are ministers in the church. But the real money for Osteen comes from his book sales, which are repackaged versions of his sermons. His latest book, Become a Better You, for which he reportedly got a $13 million advance, goes on sale tomorrow. They read more like self-help than religion. In his new book, Osteen lays out seven principles he believes will improve our lives.
To become a better you, you must be positive towards yourself, develop better relationships, embrace the place where you are.
Yeah.
Not one mention of God in that, not one mention of Jesus Christ in that.
That's just my message. There is scripture in there that backs it all up. But I feel like, Byron, I'm called to help people. How do we walk out the Christian life? How do we live it? And these are principles that can help you. I mean, if there's a lot better people qualified to say, here's a book that's going to explain the scriptures to you. I don't think that's my gifting.
Good to see you.
He's honest. You got to give him this much. He's honest. When asked, why isn't there any God in here? Why isn't there any Jesus in here? He just says, that's not my message. St. Paul said, I think it was St. Paul, yeah. St. Paul said, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ crucified, and ourselves as servants for your sake. That's what Paul says. Paul's message was, not me, but Jesus. Not myself or you, but Jesus Christ crucified, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Not just Jesus in a generic sense, Jesus your life coach, Jesus your helper, Jesus Christ and him crucified, Paul says. Now Joel has turned that around. Joel would rewrite that verse to say, we do not preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's not our message. We preach ourselves. as someone who can tell you how to live out that Christian life. This is a classical example. And see, most of the time, preachers aren't so honest. They'll still put out on the signboard, "We preach Christ," but they don't. Or, "We're Christ-centered preaching at this church," but it isn't. They're not honest. They lie. It's that simple. Joel isn't lying. Joel is telling you, if you want to hear Jesus Christ and Him crucified and the forgiveness of sins and a message of sin and grace, law and gospel, I'm not qualified to do that. Go someplace else. I'm here to preach the Christian rather than the Christ. The problem is, preaching the Christian doesn't save anybody. Unless Joel's assuming that everyone who walks into his 20,000-seat arena and hears him preach is already a Christian. Does preaching the Christian, it doesn't create faith in unbelievers. Does it sustain faith in Christians? No, it doesn't. What sustains faith? Preaching Christ and Him crucified. But at least Joel is being honest. He's being honest in the fact that he says, that's just not my message. Boy, what would have become of the church had St. Paul, having been called by Christ, said, "Jesus, thanks. I'm happy that you called me as an apostle. But you know, I got a different message. It's not my gift to preach you and you crucified for sinners. I'm going to preach some advice on how to be nice. I'll be that guy who tells people how to live the Christian life." But the preaching of the Christian life is not the gospel. And Jesus sent his church to proclaim the gospel. We preach not ourselves, but Christ and Him crucified, and ourselves as servants for Christ's sake. You're listening to Issues Etc. It's Audio Open Lines. We're back live with you this Tuesday. It's the 16th of October. Our in-studio email address, as we listen to the 60 Minutes audio when Joel Osteen was on, issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Or give us a call, 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. Okay, he's honest. He says, "I'm just here to move, motivate, and inspire. A life coach to help people learn how to live their lives a little bit better," or in the words of his book that's coming out, "become a better you." When we come back, we'll hear more from Joel Osteen. He will express his humility at being able to change so many lives with his message. Is that the proof of the truth of someone's message? That it changes lives? That's a real popular idea in the church today, that the proof of the truth of someone's message, the proof that God has really sent them to do this and this must be God doing it through them, is that lives get changed. Is that true? In fact, when pressed, Joel will say, "Hey, you can't argue with the lives that have been changed." So he's there to move and motivate and inspire, but not to preach Christ and Him crucified. That's a downer. We'll be right back.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At AMA 50 KFUO, we greatly appreciate and enjoy hearing from you, our listeners, via email. Here's an example. "Dear Pastor, your program is so important to me. I'm 79, and church music, along with your soothing messages, are so wonderful. I love the old hymns, but enjoy the praise songs as well. Yours in Christ, Jan. Let us hear what you think about worldwide KFUO. Just log on to kfuo.org.
Underwriting on AM 850 KFUO provided by Reliable Heating and Cooling. Christian people who understand the value of bringing you God's Word on the radio. The folks at Reliable also know how important it is to have your furnace checked before winter. An inefficient or deteriorating heat exchanger costs you needless expense and could be dangerous. A preseason inspection from Reliable is convenient, affordable, and gives you peace of mind. Reliable Heating and Cooling, supporting the broadcast ministry of AM 850, KFUO.
A state outlaws partial birth abortions. This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Louisiana has become the first state to outlaw partial birth abortions since the Supreme Court upheld a federal ban on the procedure in April of this year. Under the Louisiana law, doctors who perform partial birth abortions could be sentenced to 10 years in prison for each offense. The law does not apply to the women who have such abortions and includes an exception if the mother's life is in danger. The Louisiana law allows state officials to prosecute offenders instead of waiting for federal prosecutors to do so. The bill was signed into law by Democratic Governor Kathleen Blanco.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
This presentation of the Meyer Minute on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Thrivent Financial, where values thrive, and online at thrivent.com.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. Every morning, mercy's new, fall as fresh as morning dew. That line from an old hymn is proven true again. Yesterday's papers reported a decline in cancer deaths. Except for American Indians and Alaska Natives, who do not have the education and access to health care that most Americans have, we are all benefiting from prevention, like less smoking, from better screening techniques, and from improvements in treatment. Since 1993, the death rate from cancer has been dropping 1.1% a year, and the drop in the years 2002 to 2004 has been 2.1%. Mercies are the good things that God does for us. The greatest mercy is the forgiveness of our sins because Jesus Christ straightened out our accounts with God. But the good things God does are not limited only to Christians. And here you have an example. Over 10,000 people alive every year. Over 10,000 people every year who two decades ago would have died from this scourge. God does His mercy so silently that we often miss them, but He keeps on doing them. Thank you, Lord, for all who are working to defeat cancer. Don't let us ever forget that the good things in life come ultimately from You. Every morning, mercy's new, fall as fresh as morning dew.
This presentation of the Meyer Minute on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Thrivent Financial, online at thrivent.com. We do more than work. We work with a purpose.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, and we're talking about Joel Osteen's appearance on 60 Minutes. It's refreshing honesty, isn't it? Joel doesn't have anything against Jesus. He just doesn't think Jesus is his message. It's not his forte. It's refreshing honesty in a world of pastors who still claim to be preaching Jesus, Christ, and the cross, but don't. Refreshing honesty. It's not a message that's going to save anybody, because a message apart from Jesus Christ doesn't save. Does it change lives? Joel thinks it does. Maybe it does. Is that the proof that Joel's doing what God wants him to do? All those thousands of changed lives? Let me tell you about two seminaries that aren't producing Joel Osteen clones, but Christ-centered, cross-focused pastors for the 21st century: Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, and Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. You can find out more at our homepage about both of these Christ-centered, cross-focused seminaries, issuesetc.org, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, issuesetc.org. It's audio open lines. We're listening to the 60 Minutes Joel Osteen audio. I want to hear from you, your reaction. If you saw it, what did you think? If you're hearing it for the first time, your reaction as well. 1-800-730-2727. 505-7850, or email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's see what Herman has to say, calling from Illinois. Hi, Herman.
Yes, and thank you for taking my call. I would say the remark of Joel Osteen's wife that more churches will look like it is already happening. I'm thinking of particularly Cape Girardeau, Missouri, at the far end of your range of your radio tower reach, that I go down there every week, and there's a number of those large community-based type churches, and some of the mainline churches are trying to remodel, remake themselves architecturally and programmatically the same way, and there's now a rock and roll high-impact worship war going on among them.
Interesting, Herman. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Yeah, and the reason architecturally they're taking out the crosses and the Christian symbolism, it's not an accident. They're taking that out of their architecture because they've taken that out of their message. They do not view those things as necessary in any real way. That's old school, as the reporter for 60 Minutes said. Steve is calling from his car. Steve, welcome.
Hey, Todd. How are you?
Doing well.
I knew you'd be talking about this subject when I saw it on the other night. I did watch the interview. I thought it was... I just wanted to comment. I thought the... interviewer, I think it's Byron Pitt. I think he impressed me as that perhaps he is a Christian or was raised a Christian. I thought he did a very good job of really bringing out these issues with Joel Osteen, but he did it in a very civil manner. But you could kind of tell by the look on his face that he wasn't buying a lot of what Joel was saying. And I thought he did a very good job of really bringing out some of the theological points and the objections that Orthodox Christianity has to some of what he teaches.
Oh, I agree with you completely,
what do you,
Steve.
I just thought it was, for a 60 Minutes, I thought it was a very, you know, fair, very balanced, very well-done interview.
Thank you very much, Steve. I agree. I agree completely. In fact, I said that before, that 60 Minutes managed to get it when it comes to, if you're going to, you know, Joel is a busy man. And if you're going to devote 10 or 11 minutes of a Sunday night news package program to Joel Osteen, and he is newsworthy. As a journalist, you got to ask the right questions. And I think, really, the reporter in this case did. He got to the main concerns and the main profile of Joel Osteen. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org.
I wonder how much of Byron Pitts' knowledge of questions to ask was his interview, or maybe it wasn't one of his producer's interviews with Dr. Mike Horton of the White Horse Inn.
Oh, I'm certain that the two played off of one another. I seriously... Now, any good reporter is going to research the subject before they go in and ask questions. And so he will look at the pro and the con. He'll look at Joel's books. He'll look at video of Joel doing his sermons. He obviously did that. He's going to look at the critics, too. And Joel Osteen is not without his critics. Just step into the public square and you will find yourself with critics. This show has critics. Every venue in the broadcast media has its critics. Now, the reason I criticize Joel Osteen, or I like Joel. I personally like him. I would love to, I would never take him on in basketball. Apparently, he's quite accomplished. But I would love to sit and drink lemonade with him after watching him wipe the floor with Jeff Schwartz. That'd be nice. That'd be nice, because he seems to me a genuinely nice person.
Not going to happen. He wouldn't beat me. I'd bloody him to a pulp before he beat me in a game of one-on-one.
Oh, sure.
Oh, sure. Oh, I would.
Okay, first of all, Joel's got like 3 inches on you.
Ask my 9-year-old son who plays me one-on-one.
Oh, baby. How about this? We'll ask the audience members if they want to take on Jeff in a one-on-one game. Jeff, you're 43. You're living in the past. You will be heaving and hoeing and with both hands on both knees in 5 minutes.
Did you see the story about a 50-year-old man who played a college football game
over
the weekend?
Yeah, that was amazing. That
see?
Was amazing. Yeah.
See?
Well, that was him, not you. In any event, but look, I would love to sit down and talk with Joel Osteen person to person, because he seems like a genuinely nice guy. I don't blame people who say he is a magnetic personality, and he's the kind of guy that you would love to get to know and probably have a lot of interesting things to say. I'd like to know what it was like to grow up the son of John Osteen. I'd like to pick his brain on the way he structures his broadcast, because he's in charge of a lot of that. That's his expertise. That's where his degree is held. And how he puts the show together, because it is a show. It's intriguing. So I don't have any problem with Joel as a person. It's his message. My critique is not of Joel's message, is that there's no Jesus. That it's preaching the Christian rather than the Christ. And he's got an unprecedented opportunity with 40,000 a week coming to hear what he has to say. And if I had one thing to say to him, I'd say, Joel, you've got an opportunity here with $40,000 a week. Why are you wasting it? Preaching the Christian rather than the Christ. Now, he probably knows as well as I do that if he preached the Christ, Christ and him crucified, the message of sin and grace, he wouldn't have 40,000 people every week. So you got to make a decision. Are you going to preach what brings people in? Or are you going to preach what saves people? You got to make that. You got to make your choice. By the way, that's not to mention the millions of people who are watching them every week on television. Are you going to preach what brings people in, or are you going to preach what saves sinners and sustains them in the Christian faith and feeds them on a regular basis with the very life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? All right, back to the phones where Sue is waiting in Valley Park. You've been very patient, Sue. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for taking my call. As soon as I saw this guy, I said to my husband, all he needs is flames behind him, a pitchfork, and horns. He has the same qualities as Clinton in my book.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, I think he is the devil in sheep's clothing, honest to God. I think he's using God and Jesus and the guise of being a preacher for PR purposes. To get people in.
Okay, now this is it. Can I safely say, Sue, that this was your reaction as a woman to Joel Osteen and how he comes across?
Instantly, fake as can be.
Really,
and
really.
I think this is how Satan works. And the sad part is, the message I got from him was, follow Jesus, follow God, and you will get all the material things in this world.
Now, you got it right. That's his message. That's
and
his
that
message.
Is sad because people are buying into that, and he's losing souls by preaching that.
Well put, Sue. Thank you. Well, I guess we're going to have to just disagree here but this is impression here. This isn't anything you could put your finger on. We should do an open lines at some point where we ask women their gut impression of a guy like Joel Osteen as opposed to men. And maybe I'm wrong. And I've watched and listened to hours of Joel Osteen, more than I care to remember. And I get the impression of this guy should have horns and a pitchfork of a lot of preachers that strike me as a charlatan. And I agree, he is the devil in sheep's clothing in the sense that his message isn't saving anyone and that he's got a substitute gospel. I agree with you there, Sue. But as a person, I don't know. He just strikes me as kind of your guileless soul, nice guy who's seriously misled and seriously misleading many. I could be wrong. Roger's calling from his car. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Todd. You said that your show had its critics. I think you said something like that. I think it's interesting. I've heard on some of the spots here on KFUO the caller, the listener line, and people just railing about some of the things you've apparently taught or said, and basically saying you're going to burn in hell. Which just alarms me when I hear that. I would love to be able to get on the website or something and listen to some. It's probably kind of entertaining, really. The other point I wanted to make is the times I've listened to Joel Osteen, it seems like he holds himself up as an example of his own preaching or his own teaching, almost like if you'll be like me, then all these wonderful things will happen. That's been my impression anyway.
Roger, thank you very much. We've pointed this out in sermon reviews that we've done of Joel's preaching, that his sermons tend to be kind of, this is the outline of a typical Joel Osteen sermon. If you don't believe me, watch him. He's on probably several times a day, every day. Hello, everybody, here's a joke. Then, here's a problem that I see in your life. So many of you are blank, 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 blank. I've met so many people who are blank, 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 whatever it may be. And it's always like down, depressed, unable to move ahead in life, all these kind of things, stressed out, whatever. Then he'll tell a story about himself, which illustrates how you ought to be rather than the way you are. Now, he doesn't come out and say, be like me, but he uses himself as the exemplar of how to not be what you are and be something better. He does this in a very winsome way, though. So you don't get the impression that he's standing up and saying, hey, I've got it licked. The rest of you need to learn from me. He doesn't do that. But he does use himself as the example. Now, there are times when he also uses himself as a negative example or self-effacing example. But more often than not, it's nice advice on how to be like Joel. And he is a nice guy. At least he seems like a nice guy. Ron's calling from Town and Country. Hi, Ron.
I think the previous caller, the lady, had it pretty well on the head. Somewhere in Scripture, Jesus asked him if he would find the faith when he come back. When I listen to this guy, I'm thinking, well, I hear these prophecy preachers talk about this Antichrist. It's going to be this and this and this. But then I think that Antichrist is simply against or a different Christ. I would call this guy Antichrist in a sense that he's a different message of Christ than Scripture presents.
Ron, thank you. Can't argue with you there, because Antichrist doesn't mean someone who's against Jesus or against the message of Christ. That scriptural term Antichrist means instead of Christ. Someone who has a message that puts something instead of Christ, in Christ's place. So what has taken Christ's place in Joel's preaching? The Christian. Your efforts to live a better life and become a better you. That's what's taken Christ's place, which is really no different than what had replaced Christ in the Galatian church when Paul wrote to them. Their works, their deeds, their efforts had replaced the deeds and the efforts of Jesus Christ. And Paul says to them very sternly and very solemnly at the end of that letter to the Galatians, if this is the case with you Galatians, after calling them foolish and bewitched, so easily led away, he says, if this is the case with you guys, you have fallen from grace and abandoned Christ. Ann calls from Crestwood. Hi, Ann.
Hi. In listening to talk about this kind of church, which we hear so much about, where God is, it's about God, but it's not about Christ ever. And it makes me think that these are not even Christian churches, but I don't know what to call them. If Christ is not in the message, if there's no cross, what can you call these churches? I don't believe they're Christian.
They're parachurch organizations.
It's just so frustrating, because the more you hear about this kind of thing and the more churches are changing, it seems to me you're getting down to the point where there's very few Christian churches that any of us would even want to attend. True Christian churches. I think there's very few Lutheran churches I would even want to attend. But when you look at the Christian church overall, how many of them, what percentage, I wonder, even have the message of Christ and Him crucified?
Ann, thank you very much. I don't know about percentage. You know, I'm actually quite hopeful, because I think that the church growth movement, the way that it has so easily accommodated itself to the culture's demand that Christ, less and less Jesus, less and less Jesus, we don't want to hear about Jesus, tell us about ourselves, tell us about becoming a better me, a better us, a better you. The degree to which the church growth movement across denominational lines has so easily accommodated itself to that cultural demand. Stop talking about Jesus, less and less Jesus. Even though they say they're doing evangelism, there's less and less Jesus in that evangelism. So it's not really evangelism. It's preaching the Christian rather than the Christ. That tendency on the part of the church growth movement, and Joel's a big part of that. He's really the leading edge of the church growth movement. He's the one that everybody's got their eye on, frankly. It's produced a backlash, if you will, a reaction on the part of people like our listeners who say, where is Jesus in the preaching on Sunday morning? I heard my pastor preach an entire sermon, and he mentioned Jesus two times, and neither of his mentions of Jesus had anything to do with what Jesus had done for me as my Savior. Maybe I need to find a different church and a different pastor. Suddenly, people are aware that of what they weren't aware before. You don't miss something until you realize it's gone. And if you have sat and listened to Christless, crossless sermons your whole life, you may not be aware that you're missing the point every Sunday. And ultimately, I would say, wasting your time on Sunday morning if there's no Christ and cross there.
You know, one of the tenets of the church growth movement, you're always saying, is unity, ecumenical unity. Downplay our differences, ecumenical unity. But everybody has a dividing line. Wouldn't you love to hear Byron Pitts of 60 Minutes interview Rick Warren of Saddleback Community or Bill Hybels of Willow Creek, the former leaders of the church growth movement, who
right,
are now
the former
kind of passe
yeah, the,
compared to Jolie's.
The
see
dinosaurs.
What, see if they think he's, you know, there's not enough, you know, theology in Joel Osteen's preaching.
Yeah, it's interesting. You don't hear that very often because these guys learn not to interact with one another. They operate in their own universe. Rick Warren would operate in a universe where Bill Hybels doesn't exist. He doesn't cite Bill Hybels' works or and vice versa. And they operate in a universe where Joel Osteen doesn't exist because they've got their little bailiwicks. But you're right. I mean, the fossils looking, and I'm talking here about the former leaders of the church growth movement like Bill Hybels and Rick Warren, the fossils or the quickly fossilizing dinosaurs, they are going to say, hey, that's taking it too far. Joel's taking it too far. Yes, our church services look a lot like a rock concert, but his are rock concerts. And our message did seem watered down to some people, although, man, does Rick Warren bristle when you talk about a watered-down gospel. Ours might have been accused of being watered down, but Joel's really is watered down. Everybody's got their line. Everybody's got their point past which they don't think they can go. Well, the truth of the matter is the original leader of the church growth movement in America, see Peter Wagner? He eventually decided there were no lines whatsoever. He's now out proclaiming himself a New World Apostle, and he's trying to reorganize the church city by city under his new order of apostles and prophets and signs and wonders. He used to be a respectable professor, I think, at Fuller Theological Seminary. But when he decided, hey, there are no lines, hey, there are no lines. Just declare yourself an apostle. Although I'm sure there's a line past which even C. Peter Wagner wouldn't go, but I can't imagine what it would be. Dave is listening in Frankenmuth, Michigan. I know Frankenmuth.
You do?
Yes, I do. The Christmas store. And
yeah, Mr. Brunner, you betcha.
And I did my vicarage about 20, maybe even less than 20 miles away from you guys in Bay City, Michigan.
Well, that's where I'm sitting right now.
Are you in Bay City right now?
Yes, I'm in Bay City right now.
Well, God bless you. It's a great city. It really is.
Well, we've got a little bit of LCMS activity around here.
Yeah, there are a few Lutherans up there in the
just a few, yeah,
up in
just
the
a few.
The crook of the thumb. What's your question or comment, Dave?
Well, my comment was my son-in-law is a pastor at Lutheran Church of the Cross in Hanover, Massachusetts, and he got there in June, and all he's been doing there is teaching them to be Lutherans again. My comment is we've got churches in our LCMS that don't know what confessional Lutheranism is all about. What's your opinion?
Well, I share the opinion entirely. Now, let's be fair and say there are congregations in the Roman Catholic Church that don't have the slightest idea about what it means to be Roman Catholic. They spend their time trying to be something else, mostly Protestants. There are congregations in Presbyterian churches that do not care one whit for what it means to be a Calvinist or a Presbyterian. Baptist is the same. You can go across any denominational line and find congregations in any denomination that have decided they don't want to be what they are, they want to be something else, which raises a question, why aren't they? And the same is true of my church body, congregations that have consciously decided that they either don't want to be or are tired of being or bored of being Lutheran. Or they've decided it's irrelevant, it's passé, and they need to try and be something else. It reminds me a bit of that kind of sad teenage girl who sits in the lunch hour at school, high school, and looks longingly at the popular kids' table. And she sees these kids that are good-looking and popular, and everyone wants to sit with them, and everyone wants to be with them and know them and talk with them. And she'll do anything to get a seat at that table, even if it means going to those popular kids and letting the popular kids tell her who she is supposed to be. And if she does this, you know what happens? She might get a seat at the popular table. But she's going to let those popular kids tell her who she is and where she came from, and she will forget who she really is and where she really came from. And such girls seldom end well. They end up sad and desperate, and some of them promiscuous. The same is true of church bodies. Church bodies that look longingly at the popular church's table and say, I want to sit there, I'll do anything to sit there, I want to be like them. They let those churches, those popular churches, tell them who they're supposed to be. And then they forget who they are and where they came from, and such churches seldom end well. They end up sad and desperate and promiscuous. with no idea who they are or where they came from. You're in there grinning. This is standard Wilkenspiel. What are you laughing about?
I know, I've even read it before, but it's just funny hearing you say it.
Yeah, this is...
it's sad, but it's a great analogy.
This is Wilkins' hobby horse lately. The sad little girl sitting alone at the lunch hour, which is what not just congregations in my church, but congregations a lot of church buddies have become. You know what this girl needs? You know what she needs? She needs to spend more time with her parents. Because her parents can tell her who she is and where she's come from. You know what churches that are sad and desperate and promiscuous need to do? They need to spend more time with their parents. Because their parents, their forefathers in the faith, can tell them who they are and where they've come from. By the way, you heard a caller earlier today say, when I watched 60 Minutes Sunday night, I knew you were going to talk about this on issues, etc. That's one of the strengths of this program, the ability to respond almost immediately. We would have responded immediately, except I was being greedy and I wanted to take a day off on Monday because I had a lot of business to take care of. We would have responded on Monday, as it is Tuesday. The ability to respond immediately to what you see, what you hear, and what you're talking about and thinking about. Now, if you appreciate this aspect of Issues Etc., try and get your congregation to include Issues Etc. in its mission or advertising budget for this next year, 2008. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and there, next to the logo for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you are going to find a link to a printable flyer, one page, very simply understood, that you can give to your pastor, your board of elders, your board of missions, when you ask them to make Issues Etc. part of your mission or advertising budget in 2008. Now, don't wait, because your congregation is probably planning its budget for 2008 as we speak. Issuesetc.org. Look for the logo of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and that link to that printable flyer. It has everything you need right there. When we come back, we'll continue listening to 60 Minutes' story on Joel Osteen and his ministry. And then after we're done talking with you and hearing that, Karen Malik will join us to talk about a new study on the link between breast cancer and abortion. Then Bill O'Reilly, he's decided that there's something wrong when gay protesters in a San Francisco Roman Catholic church come in dressed as clowns and then they receive communion. Or maybe he doesn't have any problem with the communion part. It's hard to tell. We'll hear Bill O'Reilly during some audio open lines and round off today's program after a sermon review of Pastor Will Wheaton's sermon recently on the paralytic, the man who is paralyzed. We'll hear the Good Morning America interviews with Joel and Victoria Osteen. It's not going to be all Osteen all the time this Tuesday, October the 16th, but since it's on top of mind and since it was on 60 Minutes and Good Morning America, we want to talk about it with you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org.